Well, good evening. Glad everyone is here for our annual Thanksgiving Vesper service. And we've come to praise the Lord and to worship Him and also to give thanks on this Sunday before Thanksgiving Day, this coming Thursday. So we're glad you're here. If you would take your orange, I believe that's orange, bulletin, and we'll begin our worship with a call to worship, which is responsive from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Let's stand together and Tom will come and lead us in hymn number 363. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight to worship you and to seek your face, to lift you up and to glorify you and to give thanks for all the good things that you have given to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would manifest your presence to us today. We pray, Father, that you would be honored and glorified by all that we say and do in this service of worship. Lord, we humbly invoke your blessing upon us now, as we worship you in spirit and truth. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There is a litany of thanksgiving in front of you there, and again, it is responsive. So I'll read the leader part, and you respond with the people part. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Let us remember his mercy, for he is gracious and compassionate. We thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us, for calling us to a life of gratitude, for calling us to service in your kingdom. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things, and he heals the afflicted. Let us celebrate his abundant goodness.
We thank you, gracious Father,
We praise you for all your gifts that go beyond our basic needs, for the joy we experience in community, for the comfort we receive from one another during times of sorrow, for the beauty and pleasure that you bring into our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good evening. The only purpose of Thanksgiving is to feast and to give thanks to God for all of his good gifts and his blessings. And therefore, it's appropriate for us to gather as a church body to hear the word of God and to be very intentional about giving thanks to our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Provider. And in fact, going way back in history, that is the same exact reason how the very first Thanksgiving came to be. I want to read to you guys the original Thanksgiving proclamation, dating from November 29th, 1623. This was made by Governor Bradford in Massachusetts, and it was made 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. The language is a little archaic, but I think you'll get the point. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime, on Thursday, November 29th, of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, and there to listen to ye pastor, to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. And so, though we're meeting at a different time of day, and I don't plan on this service lasting for 3 hours, like their worship service lasted, we gather for exactly the same purpose, to hear the word of God and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. And so we have much to be thankful for. Just like these original pilgrims, we certainly thank God for his provisions materially. We thank him for his protection. We thank him for this country where we have the freedom to worship God. And in a few minutes, all of you will have opportunity to give public testimony of thanks to God for the blessings and gifts that he has given you. But first, I want us to briefly reflect on a passage of Scripture. This passage is short in length, but it is very deep in meaning. The passage is from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, the first 2 verses. And it states, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the privilege to gather and sing praises to your name. We thank you for your word that you have not left us alone to die in our sin, but you have condescended to us. You have revealed yourself to us in your word, and more than that, you have redeemed us. So, Father, we ask that as time you would send your spirit, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts, that we would see your beauty, we would see your wonderful gifts that you have given us, and that you would receive our praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the passage that we read, perhaps you've read it in the past. It's a very easy passage to just brush over really quickly. After all, it's just the greeting to a letter. Let's get to the actual letter that Paul wrote, right? However, there is an amazing amount of biblical truth stuffed into these few words that the Apostle Paul writes in this simple greeting. And so this evening, we're going to briefly look at three parts of this greeting. This letter to the Philippians is from Paul, and Timothy is included in the introduction. And Timothy is to be included because he was known to those in the Philippian church. If you are familiar with the book of Acts, young Timothy was part of the group of four that originally went into Philippi and helped plant this church. And so Paul then addresses this letter to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And before I talk about what he means by calling them saints, I want us to look at what comes after the word saints. In Christ Jesus. That's one of Paul's favorite ways of describing Christians. He uses this expression or similar variations of it over 100 times in his 13 letters. And we're helped to understand this phrase if we also remember that Paul taught that those who are in Christ were once in Adam. The first man, Adam, was an individual, but he was also a representative for the entire human race. This means that Adam's actions had lasting effect for the rest of humanity. What he did counted not only for him, but also for everybody else, including you, including me. And in Romans 5, Paul describes Jesus as the second Adam. Jesus came to do what Adam failed to do, which was to obey God perfectly. And Jesus came to undo all that Adam's sin brought about through the fall. Jesus came to destroy sin and death and to reconcile us to God. When we trust in Jesus and repent of our sins, we are in Christ. Jesus becomes our new representative, and we begin to share in the blessing of all that he did for us. And when Paul uses the phrase, in Christ, he means that by faith in Jesus Christ, you are irreversibly united to him. Our union with Christ is the central truth to the entire doctrine of salvation. It is the fountainhead or the source from which flows every single spiritual blessing that we enjoy. Faith, repentance, forgiveness, justification, adoption into God's family. Sanctification, the process of being made more and more like Christ. Perseverance, the fact that we will never fall away. And glorification at the last day. Westminster Larger Catechism, question number 66 asks, what is that union which the elect have with Christ? And the answer it provides, the union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably, joined to Christ as their head and husband, which is done in their effectual calling. In Christ. In other words, by faith in Jesus, you are irreversibly united to him. You don't ever become ununited to Jesus. You don't ever lose this spiritual connection. And therefore, we can have hope. We can have assurance. Now, we certainly all go through deep, dark valleys and lows, and we struggle with seasons of sin, sometimes even great sin. But if there is a whisper of faith in your heart, if there is an inkling of love for Jesus Christ, you have all of the spiritual blessings that we receive from Christ. What a reason to give thanks. So yes, let's certainly thank God for all the material provisions that he provides for us. Let us thank him for the protections that we receive. Let's thank him for the freedom we have in this country to worship him. But do not neglect to also thank him for every spiritual blessing which flows from your union with Christ Jesus. Your union with Jesus also gives you the status of a saint. Now, becoming a saint doesn't require some lengthy process of being canonized, and then you receive some kind of special spiritual status. Rather, being a saint is the New Testament way of simply describing every single believer. By faith in Jesus Christ, you are united to him. His death paid the penalty of all your sin. His perfect righteousness is credited to you. Saint is your status. It is your identity. And the word saint actually means set apart. It points to what Jesus has done for you. You are set apart to him. You are no longer set apart to the realm where sin reigns. And by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit working in us, sin no longer rules us. And we are becoming what we already are in Christ Jesus. And so what good news that is. Tonight, let us praise the Lord, saints. Let us thank him for our new status, for our identity. And our status as saints also points to how God calls us to live. It's no easy task to live outwardly as a saint. In fact, by our own efforts, it is impossible. But there is good news. The saint in Jesus Christ is never left to walk the path of obedience alone. In Paul's greeting, he points to two different gifts that we receive from our triune God. He specifically mentions God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is implied as the one who actually imparts these gifts to us. But what are these gifts? They are the gift of grace and peace. Now, grace is getting the good that you do not deserve. Though we are sinners and deserve God's wrath and his punishment, we get forgiveness. We get a restored relationship with God the Father. We get the status of saint. We get these because Jesus willingly died on the cross as our substitute. And the other gift that Paul mentions is peace. This echoes the familiar Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is the peace that we all inwardly long for. Shalom is the spiritual, the physical, the psychological, the social well-being. It is how things were created to be. Physical shalom is being healthy, with no sickness, no diseases. Psychological shalom is your mind, your will, and your emotions all working together properly. Social shalom is peace with your fellow man. It's when the wealthy are willing to disadvantage themselves for the betterment of the community. Spiritual shalom is having a right relationship with God. And remember, Jesus, through his Spirit, is making all things new. And it will be made perfect when he returns. And until then, know that you are irreversibly united to him. You are a saint, and that through grace and peace given to you from our triune God, you are enabled to live like one. So again, let's praise the Lord, saints. This Thanksgiving, let's thank God for every spiritual blessing which flows from our union with Christ. Let us thank him for our status and identity as a saint who is set apart to God. And let us thank him for all the glimpses of true shalom that we get to experience, and for the fullness of shalom that will come the day that Christ returns. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you again for your word, and I pray that you would strengthen the faith of our hearts as we hear it. Work in us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this time, Tom will come forward and lead us in our next hymn.
Stand with me.
As you remain standing, inside of your bulletin, there is a general thanksgiving prayer. It is a unison prayer, so let's recite this together as we bow our heads before the Lord. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption offered by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that you, with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness in all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Please be seated. Danny and I talk all the time, and tonight is your opportunity to give thanks, as we do annually, and praise the Lord with special things in our lives that we want to give thanks for as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm going to open it up to the floor now, and if you would, when you come forward, if you're tall enough, speak into the microphone like this so we can all hear you. Some of us are hard of hearing, and if you are short, then we will take the microphone off and put it to your lips so we can all hear you as well. So who would like to share first? All right, Ms. Pat Barton, thank you.
I'm going to do it first because I know I wouldn't if I waited. But if I sound nervous, I am. But I also brought my notes. But when I first found out we were going to share, how thankful that we'd have this opportunity to say how thankful we are. And I said, I definitely want to do that this year. And tonight I'm sharing with you a special blessing and thankfulness. First of all, I'm thankful for Jesus and all that he has done for me and for all of my family. And all of my family is all of you, especially our pastors. You couldn't have, I couldn't have a better pastor that was there for me, because David was out of it most of the time, but I think most of you know that he had cancer. And first of all, being what he has done for me and all of my family, it's about you as well as us. From the minute you heard what choices and options that David, or rather when we found out what options that he had, and concerning the cancer he was harboring inside, the doctors came in and told us how bad the cancer was, that it was very aggressive, and nothing else we could do or expect. One thing, you will have a stem cell transplant, meaning stripping your body of everything. And of course, I ran to my pastors. I told them, but they were already seeing David at the time. And it's too much for me to say everything that he went through, but cancer, battling cancer, takes enormous strength. It's exhausting, overwhelming fight, even after you hear the good news of cancer-free. And it may be the beginning, the middle, and the end. Feeling of times that you just can't go on any longer. But I know, and I really want you to know how truly it meant to us, and especially me and my other extended family, how much your prayers meant to us. And once again, you begin to feel the joy, the peace, and the hope. And then you share it with all who supported us, which is all of you. But I do want to say, too, thanks to all of you for being such a great friend, knowing that we love you all. And once again, we will need your prayers, as he will once again have another scan, the 29th, 6 days after Thanksgiving. We will once again, we're thankful for Jesus and his love that will not let us go. And with thankful hearts from David and I. And we really thank God for how he's brought us through all this.
Thank you, Pat. That was wonderful. Someone else, want to give thanks to God and praise him for something in your life this past year?
Hi, everyone. Well, I have a lot of things to be thankful for, always like everybody else. But this year, I had my daughter, my two daughters, and my son, and I graduated. So after all those years of studying and hard work and suffering, finally, I made it because my children had to make it. They are young and it's different, but I'm thankful for that, for all the graduations for this year. And one of the biggest blessings in my life this year, I'm a grandmother. I have a beautiful grandson. He's 9 months old. His name is Diego, and I just adore him. He's so cute. And another thing that I'm very thankful for is that I was able to go to Mexico to see my mom and spend some time with her, since she's not able to be here with me anymore. She's almost 90 years old, but she's healthy, so that's a big blessing too. And another big blessing is that God gave me the opportunity to visit Jacqueline Elizabeth, my daughter, that she's in Africa. She will be there for 2 years. 27 months. She's been already there for 15 months. So as a child, you want to know how they are, where they are living, how is there, because it's a totally different place where, like, we live. So I was very pleased and happy and blessed to be able to be there and spend some time with her. I spent 3 weeks there, and I was able to see many things, like people that she worked with and people that she worked for and the children that she worked for. She's a teacher there, an English teacher. But I also seen that much poverty. It's like sometimes we complain about things that we don't have, but when see those lives, different lives, we really... that touches our hearts, and we're really thankful for what we have and where we live and, like, the freedom that we have. I think there are countless things that we should be thankful for. And, well, and one more thing. Oh, since I finished studying, I didn't have a job, so I had the opportunity to do all this traveling, and I said, when I come back, I just get a job. I thought it was going to be easy. I have my degree, so I can get a job. And I started looking and looking and looking, and I wasn't finding a job. And it was a moment, and I was like, so scared because the school was starting and I didn't have a job yet. So one night I just started crying and crying because I have bills to pay and no jobs at all. But I told Danny Michael, I'm sorry, Danny Michael, I'm crying, but I don't know what I'm going to do. So I just prayed, and I think Mr. Wack asked me one day at church if I was going to stay, but for some reason I couldn't stay that day. And he asked me if I needed something to pray for. And I say, I really need a job. And he said, okay, well, we'll pray for you for a job. So it was like after 2 days of that, my daughter came and she told me, oh, there, a teacher quit in my school. If you want to apply, they are needing a teacher. So the job was there for me. So after 2 days, we were praying, and you were praying for me, and I was praying, and so I got a job. So that was a big blessing, too, because you cannot be without a job. So, and after that, I've been working. Besides that, other two jobs that I have, so blessings come whenever you think, but we have to ask and pray. So, and the last thing, and that I've been always very thankful is because of the church and church family that I am, and that we are. Since 10 years ago, I'm so blessed, and my family is so blessed to have all of you as my family. And I thank, special thanks to Pastor John and Pastor Lani and everyone else who has been walking with me through all these years, seeing the progress and helping me out with many things. So thank you.
Thank you, Inez. That was beautiful. I appreciate her work ethic, too. You cannot be without a job. Some people actually can be without a job, you know, and be quite comfortable with it. Someone else you'd like to share tonight, young or old, male or female? Joseph, thank you.
So, am I nervous? No. So actually, today I feel like to witness God's grace, because an Asian guy for you guys probably always kind of mysterious, right? So let me introduce myself a little bit. Maybe somebody already knew me, but somebody still kind of don't know who I am. So because I originally came from Taiwan, and then I have been in the United States for 20-something years. And I practiced as an OB guy for several years before I came to the United States and to pursue my PhD degree. And after I got my PhD, I kind of started my research work. And 2 years, until like 2 years ago, I got an offer from Taiwan and USF. So I kind of accepted both jobs. That's where the story starts. So but my family is in Ohio. As you know, if you have two high school kids, they don't want to move. They'll kill you if you move. So I had to move to Tampa by myself and left my family behind. So my wife and two high school kids, they are still in Ohio. And so, and then I took a job in Taiwan. And so I opened a lab in Taiwan and also seeing patients. So the deal is I have to travel every 2 months. So I'm kind of flying all over the world. So I stay in Taiwan for two months and then come to Tampa for 2 months and then just stop by to visit my family for a few days before I come and go, all right? So I'm accumulating my mileages. So when I go to a new place, the first thing I do is to look for a church home. So that's exactly what I did when I first came to Tampa last year. So of course I rent an apartment, and I also rent an apartment in Taiwan. And when I came to Tampa, I started looking for a church. And believe or not, I found our church through internet. So I just kind of searched a church and then see, you know, what's the doctrine, what's the statement of faith. And I decided to come to our church. And I have to say, this is no coincidence. This is no coincidence, because this is, I feel God's there. Because I, you know, when I come to the church, I just, you know, just feel like home immediately. Yeah. So especially when I, you know, when I was in Taiwan when I was a kid, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. So I just feel immediately like I'm home. So, and then everybody's in the church is so nice to me, and you know, I told Pastor John every time when I, after the Sunday service, I feel refreshed, and you know, his sermon just for some reason, I don't know why, always kind of calm my heart. And when I was in Taiwan, I also looked for a church. And then again, I feel like, you know, even when I was searching the apartment, I searched for like 20 apartments, and finally I got one. And that apartment, the owner is a very good Christian. He even, you know, is a founder of one of the churches in Taiwan. And he's a really good Christian, and he's really nice to me. So I don't think this is a coincidence. This is all, you know, God, because of God is kind of protecting me, guiding me. And then also for the church in Taiwan, I also, you know, I went to a loving church. That's a Baptist church, but you know, people are so nice, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. So I'm so thankful that, because I have to go to three places, and then my family cannot afford that anybody being sick. So we are all blessed. Because everybody has been healthy, and then, you know, we have two kind of honor students at home, and my daughter is kind of applying college right now, and then 2 days ago, she just received a notice from OSU for early decision, and so she's in a safe ground right now. Even though she's still kind of waiting for other schools. And they are all hardworking kids. And then also for my research, because right now I have to focus on research and clinical patient care. But actually, you know, it's been a really fruitful year to me, because in Taiwan I got 5 grants, and here I got, you know, a small grant and And with my colleagues, we got a big grant studying Zika infection and pregnancy from Florida government. So it's really kind of fruitful for me. And then this is all God's blessing and grace. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. He's been such a blessing to us, too. This man has come and been a part of our worship service, our Sunday school, our choir. And every time he's here, he's such a huge encouragement to me as a pastor. And his beautiful family has been here on several occasions, I believe, back when we were over at St. Andrew's, wife and 2 children. And I'm praying fervently that they'll move and relocate and make Tampa their permanent home. You know? So, but we love Joseph. So thankful for you, brother. Somebody else I'd like to share tonight? Ellie.
Good I like the flowers that God made, that that he likes the flowers, and I love my mommy and daddy and my doggies. So, and I also love my parents that who care for me, and I love my sissy, and I also love my plants that grow in the dirt.
Oh, thank you, Ellie. Praise the Lord. Man. Thank you, Ellie. Someone else like to give thanks? Jamie.
I'm thankful that we have plants in our dirt. That's one of my many thankful thoughts for this year. As you all know, I lost my mom this year, and she had pretty severe mental health problems. But one thing that I was just so thankful for was that in all of that, she never, ever ceased her desire to worship God. You know, when you have someone in your life that struggles with mental health struggles, the days can feel few and far between when you see graces like that. But she never ceased in her desire to worship God. She never turned on her family. And with her mental illness, that is really common. So she desired her family up into the very end. I was just very thankful for her life. As much of a struggle as I know it was for her, I think that it just taught me so much about the extent of God's love and God's grace. So thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Someone else? Shannon?
All right. I just wanted to, September this year was kind of hard. Not only with, armor coming through by the loss of my high school principal in a jet ski incident. It is a 4-year-old daughter. Luckily, the girl survived. She's doing much better. She has to deal with brain damage for the incident, but just hearing the loss of the principal, I was devastated, and I was constantly praying, hoping God would just be with her. And I heard the news that she was doing much. She was off the breathing tubes and breathing on her own. I thought that was a wonderful answer to prayer. I was thankful to God, and I was always, now I'm just thankful for every day, because I know that life is precious, and I don't want to take that for granted and see someone who's suffering, and my mommy, they give you they impact your life in some way, and then next day, you lose a life to something. So I'm always thankful for God for our lives, and coming here is a miracle, because it just to see everyone's faces being friendly and asking how you're doing, it's wonderful. And for those who I told about the incident, who prayed, thank you, because the girl's fine and seeing much, I'm sure, good progress in life. And hopefully, depending upon the brain damage, it's not so severe where she can't learn, so.
Yep. Thank you, Shannon, for having such a tender heart. That was a tragic loss, Dr. Craig Butts and his little girl, 4-year-old Tegan. We continue to pray for and to make a full recovery. So thank you for sharing that. Someone else? Beverly.
I am so thankful this year that my sister is home and that God's provision brought her at a time when I had a big upheaval in my life and had, some of you know, I was in a panic situation. We had to move out before we expected to. My friends of 30 years sold all the property, and it was just really different things going on. And what a joy it's been to have her with me, and so thankful for my brother and other people in the church that did a rescue move that hectic weekend, 6 days, that and I'm just so thankful to be able to call out in a panic and know that there will be a response. And that's such a wonderful thing to have a church family like that. And I'm just so thankful for my brother and sister and all their wonderful help and support, and that God has brought us here for how many generations? Our family's been here in this church for 3 generations. So it's just an incredible thing that God has done in our family. And I'm so glad that I'm part of everyone here. And this big change, to have the support of my sister and just to be able, we can pray together and work together, and that he's brought her back for now. And it's exciting to see how God's going to use her, and then I can be part of that. So I'm so thankful for all those things that are going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly. Somebody else? I give thanks to God.
Hi, if I start crying during this or get nervous, this is hard to talk about. But just overall, I'm thankful for life and that I have food and clothing. And, you know, past couple of months have been rough, you know. And the next couple of months, I don't even know, you know, if I'm going to live with my mom, with my dad. It's scary, it's worryful, but, you know, I'm thankful that I have this church to stay with and these people that love me, and I'm thankful for my mom. She's amazing. She's the reason I'm here today. And this opportunity to just talk to people about stuff, it's nice. But it's upsetting. You know, it just... I want to be as tough as my mom. She's amazing. It's just like, people say, oh, you're brave for saying this and you're wise for doing that. And it's just... I don't... Sorry, I'm just getting emotional. I don't think that's why people say that. I think it's because of, you know, the past 6 years and my mom and my dad. I can't even explain my feeling right now because it's hard. It's scary. It's sad. And, you know, throughout life, it's tough. But we have this week to be thankful. So I'm thankful for that. Thank you.
Ashley, thank you for sharing. That is a beautiful testimony about your mom. And you're right, life, a lot of life is very hard, very, very difficult. And the Lord is with us through these difficult times. We give thanks for that. Someone else. Bryson.
So, I must say, I am very thankful for my Bible teacher, Mr. Rod. He has had stage 4 cancer for a while, and he showed us our class and all the new students the picture of himself when he had cancer. And it was, if I saw that, him walking down the street, I must say I would not know him at all. And even if he said his name, I might still be questioning whether it was truly him, because he looked much different. But I must say I'm quite thankful for him, because he has been an influence to my life and my spiritual growth and spiritual development and relationship with God. And I'm just really thankful that he's still alive after stage 4 cancer. He got his tests back recently, and they were all positive. So his cancer is now perfectly stable, and he's now perfectly able to do whatever he's doing. And it's very nice that he is doing fine and that he's been there for my life to help me grow spiritually.
Anyone else like to share? We have to wrap it up pretty soon now.
I've got many things that I'm thankful for, but I think the thing that's at the forefront of my mind today is the birth of our first grandchild. Irene was born last Thursday, and it's such a blessing, because Catherine and Camilo have been married for, I don't know, 8 years, something like that. And we were beginning to wonder if they were going to have kids, and found out that they were really struggling to have kids. And then 9 months ago, we got a phone call, and they were elated to find out that they were expecting. And Catherine delivered on Thursday a beautiful 7-pound, 4-ounce little girl. So we're praising God.
There we are, and I'm praising God my wife didn't kill me for not making that announcement this morning. So I'm alive and well and breathing. It's hard to make a transition to grandpa, you know, so at any rate, but I am very grateful. Someone else? Anyone else want to give thanks? Well, I want to conclude by giving thanks for our church and the beauty of it. We have a very eclectic congregation, if you've noticed lately. That's very unlike most PCA churches. Most of them are what we call whitey-tidy. You know, everybody is a white, English-speaking professional. And I am so thrilled. For somebody who's hardly ever been out of the country only one time, it's just like the Lord to use a person like me involved in a pastorate like this, where people come from all over the world, Jamaica and Cuba and Puerto Rico and Korea and Taiwan and so many different places, Mexico. You just go on and on and on. And I believe we have a great, great future here, and as we wait on the Lord. I'm also thankful for my associate pastor, Danny Dalton, and his family, and grateful for their lives and their service. I'm thankful for our session and our diaconate. We have great officers in this church, and they have granted me a sabbatical to get away for a couple of months beginning in the new year, which I believe I really need. And I'm so grateful to God for that. This is a great place to serve as a pastor. And I'm thankful for my wife, who deals with me daily and puts up with all the rigors and all the challenges of ministry. Very, very grateful for that. And I am very grateful for my grandchild. And but it's a hard adjustment. Yeah. So Diane and I react differently to these things. So. At any rate, I'm grateful to God and grateful for you to come out tonight and give thanks to the Lord. And I hope everyone really enjoys their Thanksgiving this year, and as they gather around the table with your family members and all, and feast and give thanks to God for all the good things that he has given to us. We're going to conclude tonight with a hymn. And Tom is going to come lead us for the beauty of the earth, and we'll stand and sing, and then I'll give the benediction. So, Tom.
I think it's fitting that the youngest presenter tonight, Ellie, spoke about God's earth. I also enjoy seeing flowers growing and try to have them grow, sometimes successful, some not. But that's what this last hymn is about. And as you look through it, think about these wonderful words.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and receive now the benediction. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.